I left him chattering obedience and went up the great staircase four at a time and strode along to the Duchess's apartments. There were the usual yellow-jacketed sentries at her door, stiffening to attention at the sight of me and rolling their eyes in astonishment. Wouldn't have done for the 11th Hussars, I'll tell you. I thumped on the panels, and after a moment a feminine voice called out sleepily, "Wer klopft?" "Karl Gustav," says I, and to the sentries, "Let no one pass." There was a feminine squeaking from within, and the door opened on the pert little red-haired lady-in-waiting, whom Rudy had fancied. She was staring astonishment with one eye and rubbing the sleep out of the other, a very pretty picture of disarray, with one tit peeping out of her nightdress. "It's as well I'm leaving Strachan's," thinks I, "for I wouldn't have been a faithful husband for long." "Where's your mistress?" says I. And at that moment the inner door opened and Irma appeared, a gown pulled hastily round her shoulders.
"What is it, Helga? Who was knocking?"
And then at the sight of me she gave a little scream, swayed for a moment, and then flung herself forward into my arms.
"Karl! Oh, Karl! Karl!"
Oh, well, I might have been faithful for a while, anyway. The feel of that warm young body against mine was like an electric shock. And it was no pretense when I hugged her to me and returned the kisses that she rained on my lips and cheeks.
"Oh, Karl!"
She stared up at me, tears on her lovely face.
"Oh, my dear, what has happened to your head?"
For a moment I didn't understand. Then I remembered. My fine, bald poll hadn't had the razor over it for 2 or 3 days now, and I was sporting a fine black bristle, like an old brush. Trust a woman to hit on the least important thing. "Nothing, my dear darling," says I, and smothered her lovingly. "All's well now that I have you again.
But what has happened? Where have you been? I was mad with anxiety."
She gave a little scream.
"You are wounded. Your arm."
"There, there, sweeting," says I, giving her another squeeze for luck. "Set your fears at rest. It's a scratch, nothing more." I turned her round, murmuring endearments, and led her into her own bedchamber. Away from the delighted and curious gaze of young Helga, I shut the door, and at once her questions broke out afresh. I hushed her and sat down on the edge of the bed. It would have been splendid to curl up with her, but there wasn't time. "There's been a rebellion, a plot, rather, against the duchy. Your throne, our lives, were threatened." I cut short her cry of dismay. "It's all over. Nearly over, at any rate. There is a little still to do, but thanks to the loyalty of certain of your subjects, our subjects, the worst is past, and there is no more to fear."
But I don't understand,"
she began, and then that beautiful face hardened.
"Who was it? Those agitators, those creatures of the gutter? I knew it!"
"Now, now," says I, soothingly. "Calm yourself, it's all past. Strachan's is safe, and most of all you are safe, my sweet." And I wrapped her up again, most enjoyably. She began to tremble and then to sob.
"Oh, Karl! Oh, thank God! You have really come back! Oh, my dear, I have been ready to die! I thought you were—"
"Ah, well, you see, I wasn't. There, there. Now, dry your eyes, my darling, and listen." She blinked at me, dabbing at her eyelashes. God, she was a beauty in her flimsy night rail. They seemed to be wearing them very low in Strachan's that winter, and I was beginning to come all over of a heat, what with her nearness and the scent of her hair, and the troubled adoration in her lovely eyes. "It is quite crushed, this plot," says I. "No, hear me out. I shall explain everything in time, but for the moment you must trust me and do precisely as I say. It is done, finished, safe. All but for a few details which require my attention."
"Details? What details?"
"There's no time now. I must be away again." She cried out at this. "It's only for a moment, darling. A few hours, and I shall be with you, and we'll never be parted again. Never."